Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Good to be back.
It is good to be back here with you.
Yeah.
Studying God's Word.
Yeah, I've been really excited these last few studies we did on Cornelius and Peter and, sort of, the Acts church.
It's been really exciting. It's really been awesome because the Lord has really guided us and brought things out that we haven't really talked about before.
Yeah, and then last week we had Eric Carpenter talk about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which was a very interesting talk. And, maybe we should do a whole series of shows on renewals and of the 20th century.
Exactly. Well, we should.
Okay, let's start now. Ready? Go. No, we're not going to do that today.
I was all prepared.
No, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 11 because Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts.
Dr. Luke.
So, he was in between making rounds and going to his office and, making house calls. He had to write the Gospel of Luke and the
Jotted
book of
down
Acts.
Some things on a stone tablet.
So he was doing a lot of stuff while he was practicing medicine.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, and then he was looking at x-rays and CAT scan. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, he wasn't looking at
x-rays. So they didn't have iPads and styluses back then. They had tablets and chisels, right?
No. He didn't have CAT scanners and couldn't do any lab tests on anybody. And
did they have SoundForge back then?
No. Oh, geez. Very primitive time. But anyway, but not a primitive time when it comes to charismatic renewal.
Absolutely. Absolutely not, yes.
Yeah, I remember I heard a speaker one time say that instead of being called Acts of the Apostles, it should be called Acts of the Holy Spirit, which
really
was pretty cool.
Amen. It should be.
Yeah. So last time we were together before the Eric show, we did, I think, about roughly the first half of Acts 11. And,
yes.
This comes after Peter's been at Cornelius' house, and Cornelius' home group became charismatic.
So Peter went to Cornelius' house?
Yes. But he took six circumcised believers with him.
But wasn't Cornelius a Gentile?
He was.
Wouldn't that defile Peter?
It did. I mean, it would have.
It would have.
But you see, he had this vision about not calling unclean what God has made clean.
Oh, that's right.
Which included not only the animals, but even Cornelius.
Wow. That is?
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yes, Cornelius was clean. And his family, and, Peter points out he took six circumcised believers with him.
Back up.
So he didn't go by himself in case, the Gentiles got a little out of control. And so then, we went through the story, and the Holy Spirit falls, and they realize that the Gentiles are getting the Holy Spirit too, and there's some confusion. But then Peter says, let's baptize them.
Yeah. And, the Gentiles are getting the Holy Spirit because they've been washed in the blood of Messiah.
Amen.
And that's the big, that is really the most important, I think, part of this is that if it's not for the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
None of this happens.
Yes. Exactly.
If it's not for the blood of Jesus being shed and poured out for the life of all,
yes,
of many, as he says.
That's right.
This would never happen.
That's right. And I firmly believe that this is how ministry should be done.
Yeah.
You bring people to the cross and you explain to them how they're saved by, mm-hmm, covered by his blood and how your sins are forgiven. Then you're open to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills you.
Amen.
And then you do ministry.
Our world needs it. Our church,
yes,
needs it.
Yes.
And we talk a lot about that on the show,
mm-hmm,
to get back to these roots.
Yes.
Because it's all by the grace of God. It's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's all being a humble servant. And being available.
And being available.
To where God needs you and how he wants to use you.
And saying, Hineni, here I am.
Exactly. And understanding, and really, we should do some shows on covenants because it's so important to understand that the covenants that God has established, they give us a blueprint for how our lives should be, mm-hmm, lived, both in a relationship with God and, mm-hmm, a relationship with others,
mm-hmm,
And it makes all the difference when you understand the depth of the covenant. It makes all the difference in, I think, how you approach relationships and relational ministry and just, how you approach ministry and sharing the good news of the gospel.
Yeah, amen. That's a good point. We've been meaning to do that for a long time, but we're going to do it.
We have to
shortly.
We have to have a board meeting, and
yeah,
we should do a planning session. Like for like, we should plan like for a month, and
we should go on a retreat.
Go retreat and do a month planning, and then come back to that.
I think the whole board with us should basically be Stephen and I. Maybe our wives could come along.
It keeps things low budget.
But they don't get the vote. Anyway. Now, and interestingly, after this whole amazing thing happens at Cornelius' house and everybody there gets baptized, and Peter meets a little bit of resistance from his fellow Jewish believers.
Just a bit.
His fellow circumcised believers, just as the word calls them.
Yep.
We might call them his fellow messianic believers,
mm-hmm.
who then, and keeping in mind that these men, and they probably were men, but I don't know, there might have been some women, but these people were faithful Jews who had accepted Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah, and were now in the new covenant.
Yes.
And I think an important point is that these covenant people who had the law, the Mosaic law, the covenant of God with the people.
Those who knew me.
What's that?
Those who knew me.
Those who knew me.
Yep.
They are now in the new covenant.
Yes.
Because they've accepted what Yeshua, Jesus did on the cross,
right.
are covered by his blood. And they knew about blood atonement because they knew the Torah.
Right.
And my Torah class didn't exist then, but they knew the real Torah classes.
But okay.
They knew about blood atonement, and now they understood that the new covenant was ushered in by Jesus' blood.
Yeah.
And was sealed in his blood.
Yes.
Then you had people, Cornelius, a great example, not a covenant person, not a circumcised Torah-believing Jewish guy, but a pagan guy from Rome,
who most likely
not circumcised,
right.
certainly not circumcised, who kind of, you know, honors and believes in the God of Israel and
right.
does alms and prays, who then accepts the Jewish Messiah,
right.
understands that, you know, Peter explains to him that if you come to Jesus, you know, his blood can forgive you of your sins, can atone for your sins.
Right.
He becomes a believer along with his whole house. They all get baptized in the Spirit.
Amen.
So you had non-covenant pagan people then coming into the new covenant.
Yeah.
So we have the church, what we would call the church,
mm-hmm.
being predominantly Jewish at this time,
right.
but with Gentiles starting to come in. And
yes.
you have the whole example of the new covenant.
And the one new man.
And the one new man from Ephesians 2:14 that we've talked about before, but I never get tired of talking about it, even though I'm an old man, one old man. But anyway, getting older by the second. But anyway, but the thing here is that these circumcised believers, these Jewish believers say, I can't believe it, Peter. Like, what came over you? Why would you go to that guy's house?
Yeah.
And then Peter does this great explanation about how I had the vision, if Cornelius had a vision, I went over there, we prayed with them, I told them the gospel, they believed, they got, the Holy Spirit fell on them, we baptized them.
Yep.
But the cool thing, and maybe you'd like to read a little bit about this, maybe you'd like to read.
I can.
The cool part I like, rather than redoing the whole thing, was when Peter's explaining what happened how about read verse 15, 16, and 17. I think it's really cool.
Okay, this is from Acts 11.
Starting
at verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it had upon us at the beginning.
Mm.
And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Or you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
If then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God?
Mm.
When they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too.
Whew. Radical.
Know, radical. And you know, if there, you know, obviously we talk to a lot of people, we talk about the law and the grace of God and those, you know. But what Peter is saying here is that if then God gave them the same gift to that he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
they got the gift of the Holy Spirit when they came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
at Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really separates, you know, it shows that the separation between that this is a new and eternal covenant. And it's a fulfillment of all of God's plan of salvation.
Mm.
Because they didn't get the Holy Spirit based on how well or how, you know, how well they kept the law.
Yeah. How many prayers they said.
How many prayers they said.
Or they stood when they said them.
And, you know, we in no way want to minimize yeah. what the law was there for. It's to yes. keep people in a right relationship
Absolutely.
With God. But the Holy Spirit, came after Jesus ascended because it was part of God's plan. And this is what God chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it has very little to do with us, although we are now his hands and feet to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But it has everything to do with God's plan of salvation in sending Jesus, Jesus being obedient to the Father's will, dying on the cross because he laid down his life willfully for us out of love.
Amen.
And then we're washed in his blood. He ascends to the Father. God's plan is that the Holy Spirit is going to come and renew the face of the earth. At Pentecost, that harvest feast, he sends the Holy Spirit. Peter gives that awesome sermon. 3,000 people are added. The church is growing exponentially. And then all this is done because this is part of God's plan.
Amen.
And it's not based on anything. I mean, think about this. Peter denied Christ 3 times before he was put to death.
Mm. Wasn't based on his performance.
It wasn't based on his performance. It's, you know, certainly, you know, when Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, you know, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You know, certainly there's a moment, I think, of God's grace that, you know, had to have been just really renewing for Peter
yeah.
that, wow, I denied him 3 times.
Yeah.
And how great is God's mercy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just shows how great God's mercy is in that moment
yes.
that Jesus knows that Peter in his weakness, in his human weakness,
yeah.
you know.
I remember reading a story about it was about one of the Catholic mystics.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was or what his name was, but he said every morning he would say a prayer that went along, let's say his name was John. The prayer went along the lines of, watch out for John today, Lord, because he'll turn on you any chance he gets. Because, you know, and, you know, what you're saying is a great example
yeah.
of Peter's performance was, you know, kind of poor. It's kind of poor.
Yeah. He hit the mark a few times.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he brings in 3,000 people.
Yeah.
In 20 minutes time.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Because the Holy Spirit empowered him because yeah. he was speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And these people are cut to the heart because God brings them to repentance
yes.
by his grace.
Exactly. And now this radical idea, which started in Cornelius' house when Peter says, well, why shouldn't we baptize these people now?
Right.
Everybody kind of said, well, okay.
And they rejoiced.
And they stopped complaining.
They
got some water and they baptized them. I mean, here was Peter and these 6 other, quote, circumcised believers, unquote, and they're baptizing Gentiles
yeah.
in Cornelius' house. That's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So this was radical. So I love that one verse where it says, you know, the Spirit fell on them just like he did on us at the beginning.
Right.
So here were these non-covenant people, Holy Spirit falls on them just like it did on us at the beginning. So who am I to say, oh, I better not talk to that uncircumcised guy because the Holy Spirit fell on him too.
Yeah.
So God's moving, like you say, as the plan of salvation unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
It's now moving into a new covenant, which is, you know, the kingdom, which includes every tribe, every tongue, every nation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now we're starting to see this happen. So Peter says, well, who am I to say what God's doing?
Right.
He's, he even filled these Romans with the Holy Spirit. Right. So this is something radical going on.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point. Cornelius is a Roman centurion.
Yeah.
A high-ranking official.
Yeah.
Well, the Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross.
Mm-hmm. And kept the people subjugated. Yes. They were the conquerors.
Yeah. And so now God's pouring out his Holy Spirit upon Cornelius and his whole household.
Yeah.
His whole household.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty, very radical. And it's interesting, too, that as soon as Peter mentions that they got the Holy Spirit just like he fell on us at the beginning, then these other Jewish believers, their mind opens up to this.
Yeah.
And that verse is pretty cool because it says, let me see if I can find it here. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God,
mm-hmm.
saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it dawns on these guys, because Peter's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
All of a sudden they say, wow, God's giving repentance to the Gentiles too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. They don't even know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are. They don't even know, what's in the Torah. Nope. Numbers isn't even their favorite book. But now what? They're being...
Wait, back up.
But now they're being led to repentance just like we were. So this is such a cool passage, because as the Spirit's moving, these guys from Peter through these other guys, their minds are being opened up.
Mm-hmm. And God's opening their minds by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You see what's taking place when Jesus would talk about, you can't put new wine into an old wineskin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Figuratively, they're thinking of the wine press and the wineskin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is really what Jesus is getting at.
Sure.
Your mind has to be renewed. You're going to be renewed by the grace of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to pour new wine into you. You're going to be a new creation. And this is what Jesus is getting at when he's talking about being, these wineskins and wine being poured into them.
Yeah.
Because you see it happening. They are, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit enables us to be a new creation,
mm-hmm.
by the power of God through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so we certainly have to cooperate with God's grace in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And as we become that new creation, as we're washed in the blood of Jesus and we're that new creation in him, then God can pour into that new wineskin, who are we, we're that wineskin now. God can pour into me that Holy Spirit without measure.
Yes.
Because it's the blood of Jesus that enables that to happen.
Exactly. And this is how you can see the church growing.
Yeah.
And you can see now that these other people are involved. You can see now that the, quote, uncircumcised people, the non-covenant people, salvation is for them too.
Yeah.
And, one way you look at it is God chooses Abraham, who's one man. Then mm-hmm. Abraham has a family.
Yep.
Then the family goes into Egypt.
Yes.
66 or whatever many it says there, I forgot.
Right.
I took my own Torah class, but I forgot.
Did you pass the final?
Yes.
Okay.
basically, Abraham's family, down through Jacob's sons and their sons, go into Egypt.
Right.
And then while they're in Egypt, they become a nation.
Right.
A nation gets taken out of Egypt, gets settled in the land so that they're a nation. Mm-hmm. And now through Messiah, the whole kingdom is established, which is all the nations, all the tongues.
Yeah.
All the racial groups, all the ethnic groups, all the...
Right.
Woo.
Right.
Coming up on a break already. Oh, this is a great song. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Running to his peaceful kingdom, shouting they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Awesome song. Isaiah 2, you can read that for your homework.
Awesome, awesome anyway. Song. What? Who sings that?
That is Paul Wilbur.
That's Paul Wilbur too?
Yes.
Wow, he sings all the songs to The Gift of Grace Radio.
He does.
Pretty much. What album is that off of?
Lion of Judah?
Is that Lion of Judah?
I can't remember now. It's Lion of Judah.
It is Lion of Judah?
Your great name. No.
Sorry. No, it's not your great name.
Let's go to the website. You can figure it out. WilburMinistries.com.
Buy one of everything?
Buy one of everything.
Buy two of everything. Give one away as a gift.
Yeah. Tell them Phil and Steve sent you, and they'll say, who? Anyway.
No, they will know.
Anyway. So interestingly, so Peter says now he said in Cornelius' house, now I see God shows no partiality.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we were discussing through the break here a little bit, in the second letter to the Corinthians, the apostle Paul is talking to them and he says, and this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 14 through 17, he says, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Obviously, wow. Paul's talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? And then he goes on to say, consequently, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come.
Wow. That's awesome.
You know, when you read this, I can't help but think how Paul's thinking of his former self as a Pharisee.
Yeah.
He knew the letter of the law, but he didn't know the heart of it.
No one was more zealous for the law than I was.
He was crushing it.
Whew. He was on it.
He would put anybody in it, any denomination, he'd put them to shame.
And he had all the scrolls in his pocket. No.
Yeah.
He probably had all the scrolls memorized.
Big pockets.
Whew. Yeah, but, he was is an example too that he thought he was doing the good thing by being zealous for the law. Yes. And as he says in Romans, it doesn't mean, you know, is the law bad? No, of course not, because the law comes from God. But, you know, I was trying to do everything according to the law, but now I realize that my righteousness is different than that now. Mm-hmm. It's a righteousness that comes from God, not from the law. And, you know, the passage you read from 2 Corinthians is the perfect example of that, because it doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what your ancestry is, doesn't matter what you thought 10 years ago or what you thought yesterday. Once you come to grips with what Jesus did on the cross, accept that, get covered by his blood, have your sins atoned for, and have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, it doesn't matter what racial group, ethnic group. You know, we talk about the black church, the white church, the Hispanic church, the Filipino church, the whatever church.
Yeah.
You know,
that is a tide of our culture in the world today. And it is not how God intends it to be. Because if you read scripture and you really understand what's going on and understand, I think really, you know, we've mentioned this a few times, to really understand Paul's writings, you have to understand who a Pharisee was, what a Pharisee was, and how they operated, and what their role was. Because Paul, I mean, you know, any of us that come to know the Lord, we have our former way of doing things before we really knew the Lord. I mean, many of us grow up in a family where we might go to a different, you know, we go to a certain denomination. Our parents go to a church, so we go to that church. And that's pretty common in any family.
Sure.
But when you come to know the Lord, and I mean know him, not just in the text of, or the context, I should say, of, data or information about God, but you actually come to know him and have a relationship with him, then you see things in a different way. And who you were before, this is what Paul's talking about. Even if you knew Christ according to the flesh before you really knew him, when you get the Holy Spirit and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, now you're going to really know God. Yes. Now you're going to know him in an intimate way, because he's going to embrace you with his love. And you're no longer just Jesus says, I no longer call you, or I call you friends, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing.
That's right.
And God is our Father. And we're not just, we do serve God, but we're more than servants for God. We're sons and daughters.
Yes, and heir to the glory.
And an heir to the kingdom, an heir to the throne. Mm-hmm. And God, you know, if we could see God's perfect love, and I think we do see that through Jesus Christ, obviously. God as a father, does he discipline us? Yes. But does he always reconcile us back to himself? Yes. He always gives us the opportunity to do that.
Yes.
Always.
His anger lasts but a moment.
But a moment. And, you know, God doesn't rejoice in the destruction of his creation. He wants us to be with him in all of eternity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as Paul's talking about this in to the Corinthians, he's really, he's addressing the need for this unity, this oneness of a new creation, a one new man that is in Christ, through Christ, and for Christ.
Paul never in a million years would have preached have 18,000 denominations or whatever it is, or saying, oh, you guys go to the Greek church and we go to the Roman church and those guys go to the Turkish church and those guys go to the, and that would have been out of his scope of thinking.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, in thinking about this, you know, there's some churches that are flourishing. There's some churches that are floundering.
Yes.
You know, when you talk to somebody where their church is floundering or they're, you know, they might be closing a church or something like that, you know, when you hear the people talk about it, they love their building more than they love Christ.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sad to say, I think they love their building more than they love Christ. Because if you were going out and proclaiming the gospel and sharing the good news, you might bring a few people with you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you might just bring somebody, you might just, you know, God just might work and go, give them the grace to come and hear the gift, you know, the news of good news of salvation.
Yeah.
So, we got to love Christ above all things.
Yes. And this is how it comes, you know, it's a, that's the first order of business, you know, as I was saying earlier. If you don't know him, if you don't understand the cross, if you don't understand repentance, if you don't understand the blood of atonement, if you don't understand the new covenant, then anything else you do, you can go to all the churches you want. You can be a spectator. You can say, well, I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I don't like this. I don't like those people. I don't like that guy. You know, whatever it is, you can sit in the back pew and yawn and look at your watch and, you know, you can do that sort of stuff.
Right.
But that's not building the kingdom.
No.
You know, showing up there Sunday morning at 10, that doesn't build the kingdom. What builds the kingdom is knowing him and then being filled with the Spirit, like this example of Peter and Cornelius and all these other guys. That's how the church spreads.
Yeah.
And the process of that hasn't changed.
Nope.
That power still exists. Now, whatever denomination you go to, you know, is going to have their thoughts and their ideas and their rules about how you should do things. And that's great because you can't have chaos.
Right.
But if you, like you say, if you focus in on the building, if you focus in on what the rules are, if you focus in on, you know, I have to do this or I have to go there, you start to lose the focus.
Right.
Because things like that can even become idols.
Exactly. And this is why Paul always says, I want to preach Christ and
Him
crucified. That's all I want to know.
That's right.
Because that's where all the power is at.
And he wrote that to the Corinthians, and, you know, this is what he talked about. Because he understood, the guy who was more zealous for the law than anyone, who was advancing in Judaism more than all the others, I mean, he doesn't, he just tells you as it is what he was thinking.
Yeah.
Now says, hey, all I preach is Christ and Christ crucified.
Yep.
I don't care about all other stuff anymore.
Yep.
Doesn't mean the law is bad. It doesn't mean that those people are all horrible. But, hey, this is what's important now.
Well, and in light of what we've been studying here for the last couple of weeks in Acts chapter 10 and 11, it really puts it into perspective how Paul comes to this understanding, because the Holy Spirit, again, as we were saying, the Holy Spirit is poured out on these non-believers who aren't circumcised, who haven't followed the dietary laws, who haven't gone to synagogue, who haven't kept any of the 613 laws.
Right.
Didn't even know there was 613 laws.
Yeah.
And didn't even know there was a Messiah.
Right.
But when they hear the word of God that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Yeshua, they're cut to the heart.
Yeah.
They believe, they repent, and they're baptized.
Yes.
And then they're baptized with water.
And they come into the kingdom.
And they come into the kingdom, exactly.
Doesn't matter where they're from.
So think, you know, Paul's a Pharisee. He's a Jew. He would be defiled going to the Gentiles.
That's right.
And a Pharisee would never even think about doing that. I mean, think about Jesus's parable about the good, you know, the Good Samaritan. There's two priests that are walking down the road. I can't touch that guy because I'll be defiled and I can't offer sacrifice.
Yeah.
But the Samaritan picks up the guy.
And does stuff. Yeah.
Does the stuff. He does the mercy.
Yeah.
And this is why Jesus is telling his people these parables so that their eyes would be opened see, I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
Right. And at this point, Paul, as opposed to Saul,
Paul,
Rabbi, same guy,
See,
Rabbi Shaul, who's now Paul, and we don't want to get all mixed up. So we know him as Paul, so we're calling Paul. He would now give, you know, if he ran into Cornelius, he would give him a high five.
Yeah.
Whereas if Cornelius would have gone by the temple as a Roman soldier, Paul would have go, ooh, I got to get away from that guy. Because mm-hmm. if he comes anywhere near me, I might be defiled.
Yes.
And that's pretty cool.
And, you know, it is so important, I think, for us as Christians in this 20th century, 21st century, that we understand.
Yeah.
We have to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't, we lose all perspective of what God has done.
That's right. And now look what happens next. I think this is good too. Steve, why don't you read, this is Acts 11. Why don't you read 19 through 26?
Okay. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that arose because of Stephen went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews. There were some Cypriots and Cyrenians among them, however, who came to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart, for he was a good man filled with the Holy Spirit and faith, and a large number of people was added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large number of people, and it was at Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Wow.
So because a persecution broke out, Stephen, not the other one. You know, you can find that in Acts chapter 7. And you can find Saul being converted in Acts chapter 9.
Yes.
So when Saul was there praying in Damascus and waiting for Ananias to come and take the scales off his eyes, he said, oh, good, in chapter 10, Cornelius is going to get converted. And then,
it wasn't written yet.
Oh, no, it wasn't written yet. That's what I was going to say. No, but because Stephen was persecuted, God used that to spread the word even farther. Because now it says, because of the persecution, these guys went out even as far as Antioch, which is in present-day Syria. Not very far from Israel, but,
right. You
know, for them, they would have had to walk there. And they now had a larger field to work in than just being in Jerusalem or just being through Judea. And, you know, the wrath that these men had shown against Stephen, God now redeems into, okay, fine, I can spread the seed farther out.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to Antioch, and it says that they preached Jesus.
Yep.
So just like we were talking about with Paul writing to the Corinthians when he said, you know, I only preach Christ or Christ crucified. I only want to know about Christ or Christ crucified. It says they preached Jesus. It doesn't say that they preached the law. It doesn't say they preached the prophets. It doesn't say they preached anything else. It says they preached Jesus. They preached to Jews, initially, solely to Jews, and then some Greeks who, now some of them were called Hellenistic Jews. They were Jews in the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were also non-Jews that were there.
Right.
So these guys went, preached Jesus in Antioch to Jews, people who weren't Jews, and it says the hand of the Lord was with them. So
Yes. There
were signs and there were wonders and there was power. So these guys were preaching the gospel and they showed that the gospel had power. So we assume there were healings, there were words of knowledge, you know, there were the gifts of the Spirit that were going on. And these guys weren't apostles, they weren't, you know, deacons, they were, you know, evangelists. They were guys who were on fire with the word, had been filled with the Spirit, and they go to bring in the harvest.
Yeah.
Woo.
Amen.
I love this song too.
This is an awesome song.
Remember, check out GiveToGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Waiting for you to pass by. Thank you.
You placed your hand over his face. In your presence, he wouldn't die. And all Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face. Then gird up my legs, I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and your grace. I will make it to the end if I could just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, Messiah once born, amongst kings and some peasants.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. But when these people are converted, when the believers are preaching Jesus, these people are convinced that this is true.
Yeah.
It's, that just still blows me away that if you're a Jewish person living there and all of a sudden you're convinced that this is true, yeah. If you're a Gentile Greek living there, all of a sudden, you're convinced that this is true. I mean, that's, that just blows me away.
Yeah, I mean, they're walking in the power of the Spirit.
Yeah, amen. I mean, did these people know the scriptures and know the prophecies? Well, maybe some of them did, maybe some of them didn't. The Gentiles wouldn't have had a clue about, you know, how the Torah prefigured Jesus.
Right.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
But they came from, the Jewish believers came from law into the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
They came from a righteousness of law to righteousness of Christ, as we've talked about, and we are going to do the shows about covenants. And the Gentile believers came really from nothing and accepted the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're all in the new covenant, and now they can worship in spirit and in truth.
Yep.
And they believed, and they turned to Christ.
Yeah.
So even if you've been studying Torah all your life, now all of a sudden you say, wow, this is the Messiah.
Yeah.
If you're a Greek who's walking around going, I don't know what Torah is, but wow, I think I believe this now. I believe this now.
Yeah.
And this is all through the power of the Spirit.
You know, I love the one story you've told about the one Jewish person who went to the supermarket. The Holy Spirit.
Oh, Rabbi Walter Lieber.
that Jesus was the Messiah. He runs home, what, 3 or 4 blocks?
Yeah, forgot about his car.
His car at the supermarket. I mean, but that's an awesome story.
Yeah.
That's an awesome example, I should say, of what happens when the Holy Spirit reveals to somebody that Jesus is the Messiah.
That's right. And this is the book of Acts. This is the book of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The church spreading. And now the foundation's being built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the apostles evangelizing, then you had other evangelists evangelizing. Now people are coming in. There's a foundation being built.
Yeah.
And then the people in Jerusalem who are the leaders say, well, what's going on up in Antioch? I mean, geez, there's Greeks and Jews and what's going on up there? So they send Barnabas.
It's the world coming to.
I mean, they see this story on CNN that all these people are worshiping Jesus.
Wow.
And so they say, man, we saw this story on the news and I think Barnabas should go up there and see what's going on. And, so now Barnabas and Paul are going to really start to begin their work because, you know, now that the foundation's been built, mm-hmm. these people need to be discipled. They need to be taught. They need to be catechized.
Yes.
And Barnabas gets there. Now Barnabas is still a son of encouragement. You know, he's a great guy. It says he's a great guy. He's really nice. Everybody loves him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he and Paul get into an argument later, but at this point, he's filled with the Spirit. Everybody loves him. And he says when he gets there and sees what the Lord has done, he's really excited about this. He says, wow. He goes, we're the church in Jerusalem, but man, there's stuff going on in Antioch too.
Yeah.
And this is what they're first called Christians, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
But when Barnabas sees this, he gets, his faith is strengthened.
Right.
Then he spends a year there with these people.
Yeah.
Preaching, teaching, having fellowship with them,
mm-hmm.
discipling them. Discipling somebody is a very important point.
Yeah.
Because you don't just say, oh, Jesus loves me. I love Jesus. Isn't this nice? No, that is important, but you want to become a follower. You want to become educated. You want to become disciplined.
You want to be rooted.
Yeah. You want to be rooted and you want to be in the foundation. And so he encourages all these people and it says so that they would continue to follow the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a while you can lose heart. If nobody encourages you, nobody disciples you.
Right.
How many times have you been to an awesome weekend conference and then a few weeks later, you say, wow, that was an awesome conference. Then a few months later, you say, yeah, it was kind of good.
Yeah.
Then a year later, you go, I remember being over there, but I don't remember what we were doing.
Yeah. And this is why Jesus tells the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
Because the condition of the heart, of the human heart, is very important in, receiving God's grace.
Yeah.
Because if your heart is not good and fertile soil, well, God's word can't really get in there and build roots and become embedded and permeate.
That's right.
Into the soil. A root, if you ever see a root system of a tree or any plant, it permeates and embeds into the soil.
Yeah.
So that root, it holds it firm.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants to do with us.
That's right.
He wants his word to be embedded in us and rooted deeply.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That we can, when trials or persecution come, because they're going to come,
mm-hmm.
that we can withstand that we can hold fast and hold firm, just like, Barnabas is saying here, remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart.
Yes, exactly.
This
is what he disciples them with. This is what he encourages them with. And I think it's cool that then it says he went to find Saul. He's by there saying, Saul/Paul should be here.
Exactly.
Whatever his name is.
Because he's going to be the apostle. That wasn't written yet.
Yeah. So he was the one who had introduced Paul, to the believers in Jerusalem, who said, I'm not going anywhere near him. So this is some kind of trick. We're going to end up getting arrested. We're going to end up getting stoned like Stephen did.
Mm-hmm.
And Now, and he goes personally to Tarsus to get him,
yeah.
which I think is kind of cool. He doesn't like send some flunky,
yeah.
says go to Tarsus and find Paul and bring him over here.
Yeah.
He goes personally to get him, and he really knows, and of course, it says he's spirit-filled. He's a good man, and he's filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He knows inside of himself that Paul is going to have a preeminent position.
Yeah.
And he's not worried that, oh man, you know, if that Paul guy comes here, I'm going to be like second class because, you know, I'm the one who's doing the preaching and the teaching. But yeah. if he shows up, he's going to get all the fame. He doesn't care about that.
And I want to have the big ministry.
Yeah. I want to be on TV.
I want to write all the encyclicals to the churches and.
Yeah. And I want to have a radio show. Oh no, no. He didn't say that. He doesn't care about his position. He doesn't mind if he gets eclipsed by Paul.
Yeah.
He just wants to spread the word.
Right.
And I think it's so cool that he goes personally to get him.
Yeah.
I wonder what they said to each other. I wish the scripture would tell us.
I know. sometimes those details are missing. They're left out.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important, you know, what you're talking about, because a lot of times in ministry, sometimes people think that they're going to know exactly what God wants them to do, mm-hmm. and they're going to have, and God's going to just give them the plan. And a lot of times you see what happens is you get an invitation from someone, or you get an invitation from another person, and God's trying to, you know, move you in a direction.
Yeah.
And he uses other people sometimes to invite you.
Yeah.
And it's important to understand that.
Yeah. Now Paul gets invited into the movement.
Yeah.
And Barnabas probably went there and said, okay, now it's time for you to start doing some stuff.
Amen.
Come on, let's go.
Woo.
Well, wow. Hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we would just pray that the power of God's Holy Spirit would begin to work in your life as you seek the Lord and really seek the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, and your strength. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.